Do you realize that Christian living is actually living in a different way? Now is the Son of Man glorified. The Lord Jesus spoke these words just after Judas had gone out to betray him. We are now studying in the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter, and we're going to begin reading at verse 31. If you have your Bibles with you and will open it, you'll be able to follow along with this. The first few verses here include this word glorify over and over again. Listen to it. Beginning to read in John 13, verse 31, here's what we have. Therefore, when he was gone out, as Judas had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. This word glorify is used over and over again. Now, I expect it may be with you even as it is with me. You know, the word glorify is not a word I ordinarily use. So far as I'm concerned, in my daily life, I could live all day long, never use that word. And because we seldom use it, this whole passage is liable to pass by. We're liable not to fully realize what this thing means. So let us look into it a little bit more closely and ask ourselves, in our own language, in our own way of talking, what does this word glorify mean? And I would suggest to you, the word glorify primarily refers to harvest, things coming through to the harvest, the finishing of them. Now let's come on with you, keep at that. When you're speaking about glorifying anything, you're speaking about bringing it through to its climax. Bringing it through to its fulfillment. That's the way in which you would do it. And now I'm going to give you a simple idea. One way of saying it is that to glorify is to bring to completion in fullness what was possible. What that all means is you get the job done. That's exactly it. Now try that out. Let me see what I've just read to you and see how it will work. Where you have Now is the Son of Man glorified. Now the Son of Man will get the job done. God is glorified in him. God will get the job done in him. If God be glorified in him, if God gets the job done in him, God will glorify him in himself. God will get the job done in the Lord Jesus Christ himself and shall straightway glorify him. He'll straightway, right now, get the job done in him. You see, he was to be glorified after he had been crucified. And when the crucifixion was now going to happen, and why do we know that? Because you remember that Judas went out to betray him. When Judas went out to betray him, you know what was going to happen. They were going to come and arrest him. He was going to be taken into court and tried. He was going to be condemned. They'd take him out and crucify him. That wouldn't be the end, remember? That's not the end of it. When they crucified him, they'd put him in the grave. When they put him in the grave, he'd rise from the dead. When he rose from the dead, he'd be present for some time, then he'd ascend into heaven. When he ascended into heaven, he'd be at the right hand of God. When he was at the right hand of God, he would send the Holy Spirit into this world to live in the hearts of believers. And while the Holy Spirit was here in this world, living in the hearts of believers, he himself, at the right hand of God, would exercise himself in intercession for us as our high priest. And then there would be the fruit. Certain fruit would follow. There'd be things happen in us as a result of all this thing happening. And the Lord Jesus would, in this way, get the job done that he had come to do. What did he come to do? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. What does saving them mean? Transforming them out of nature into the Spirit. Transforming them out of a sinful being into a person who belongs to God. This whole thing is what Jesus Christ came to do. So when Judas went out to betray him, the Lord Jesus turned around to the disciples and said, Now it's starting. What? The end activity. The whole business is coming to its conclusion. It will now come to its fulfillment. It's very much the same as this. Suppose a woman were going to make a dress, and I'm sure some of you people listening to me either have done this or you've seen it done. So the woman is going to sew a dress. Well, what does she have to have? Well, we'll start in with this, that she has to have cloth. So she buys a new piece of cloth. She may buy one long piece of cloth that she has bought at the store, and this is the cloth from which she will make the suit or the dress. Now, you know she has other things. She has a pattern, you know, that flimsy paper that they have, which is the pattern. She has a sewing machine that she can afterwards use, and she has the time arranged that she's going to give this afternoon and tomorrow for the making of this dress. She gets all that ready. Then there comes a time. She's all set to go. She takes the scissors in her hands, and she cuts the cloth. Now, when she cut the cloth, according to the pattern, she started the process that was going to wind up with the suit, going to wind up with the dress. She started the accomplishing of the goal that it was all toward, all about. That's why she went and bought the cloth in the first place. It was because she wanted to make the dress. The Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save the lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. We all know that he was born as a babe in Bethlehem. We know that he grew up as a child with Mary, his mother, and in the home of Joseph. We understand when he became a young man that he began to teach and to preach at 30 years of age. You understand about that. And for several years he continued to do this. But that isn't what he came for. He came to die for us, not just to die, to be raised from the dead, not just for himself to be raised from the dead, but that we might be saved. The whole thing was beamed at us. And when I was using the expression, he'd get the job done when we're saved, he'd be glorified when we're saved. Now, just as you have it pictured there with him, that's the way it will be with us. You see, there is a period of time when we're hearing about these things, thinking about these things, but haven't actually started developing them yet, haven't actually started bringing them through. In other words, while the Lord Jesus was standing there talking to his disciples, everything of that was preliminary. He was there with his disciples, walking around with them, talking with them, and so on. That was all preliminary. Before the final completion process would actually get underway, he would have to die. That's number one. Then he'd be raised from the dead. That's number two. And then he would be present with them. He'd be ascending into heaven. Number three. At the right hand of God, he'd send out the Holy Spirit. Number four. And then with the Holy Spirit here upon us in our hearts, and he, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, interceding on our behalf. You can call that if you want to. Number five. He'd be guiding us into his will and leading us along the way that we should go by his Holy Spirit working in us. That'll be number six. And someday he'll come again and receive us unto himself. That'll be number seven. That's what he really came to do, was to save us into his presence. And he'll be fully and completely glorified. He will really get the job done. It will really be harvest time when he gets us up there with him. Now, all this process, all this movement, was ready to start at the moment that he was arrested and they were going to take him and crucify him. Now shall the Son of Man be glorified. This was the thing. During this time now, while we are here in this world, I want to hasten to say, because, you see, while we're discussing how the Lord Jesus will be glorified, we know that that's going to be when we're brought up into his presence. In the meantime, while we're here upon earth, there's something more for us to learn. And so we read here, so far as our scripture is concerned, when you look in chapter 13, in verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go you cannot come, so now I say unto you." The Lord Jesus himself was going to die and be raised from the dead, but that would not be our procedure. We would not die in the flesh to be raised in the flesh. We're going to have the experience after the Holy Spirit comes of being led to die in the Spirit, that we might be raised in the Spirit with him. But now in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I want to consider for a moment this new commandment. When he says a new commandment, he doesn't mean a new one in place of the old one. It doesn't mean a new one that's going to be different from the old one. This new commandment is not another commandment in place of what you already had, but it's an additional commandment. And if you take the scriptures as a whole, And thinking just in terms of the commandment, if anyone were to ask you, what was the great commandment, you'd say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second great commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now here's another one. This is a further one, a third one, if you will. Love one another. And the reason why this is given is because there's a new situation. Now look back and think about these commandments. You're in the presence of God and you're living in this world under God. Have in your heart and mind that you want to please Him. Love the Lord thy God. Living in this world as you are, there are other people. And you have dealings with other people. And you see them in their distress. And you see them in their need. Now when you see them in their distress and you see them in your need and you go to help them out, love thy neighbor. Now there's something new. You're going to belong to the church. You belong to the body of Christ. There are some people belong to you and you belong to them just like an arm belongs to the leg and the leg belongs to the ear and the nose belongs to the foot, that kind of thing. You all belong together. Now, in this fellowship, in the church, where you all belong together, love one another. Have an interest in each other during this time. During the time that you're here in this world and during the time that you're in the flesh, have love one toward another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. This will be a recognition of the fact that you really belong to me when you have an attitude of brotherly interest in and fellowship with and concern for those who are also other believers. So, when Peter says, we want to do it, I want to do it, the Lord Jesus said, not now, later. You see, they needed to receive the Holy Spirit to be able to do this, but we'll come upon that later again. During this time, however, while we are here in this world, we should be disposed to be interested in other believers. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to care about other Christian people. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.